You are listening to episode 72 of the Tennis Files podcast, how to implement changes in your tennis technique.
Welcome to the Tennis Files podcast, bringing you advice from the top minds in tennis to help you improve your game. And now, here's your host, Mehrban Iranshad.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Tennis Files podcast. I hope you're getting to play some tennis out there during the winter. And I know the new USTA ratings are coming out. I think by the time you hear this, they'll be out by tomorrow. So I know you're all probably really excited about that, but no worries, whatever you're rated, the goal should be to always improve your tennis game. And it's funny because a friend of mine, Greg, actually Facebook messaged me the other day and said that one of my articles on why you shouldn't obsess over your USTA ratings was linked up in one of the Tennis Warehouse forums on one of the threads. So it's kind of funny to me. But yeah, I'll link that article in the show notes to hopefully help you with your nervousness if you have any. But again, don't be worried about it. Just always try to improve and become the best player you can be. But with that being said, today I have a solo episode for you. It was actually a presentation that I gave on the Tennis Techniques Summit, which I did a little while back. And I thought I'd bring this audio portion of the presentation into the podcast because it's definitely packs some really good tips, I think, on how to approach changing your tennis technique. Because sometimes it can be very tough to figure out, first off, what to change and then how to go about changing your stroke. And it can be really tough sometimes. And I get into some ways that you can accelerate the process and ensure that you don't interrupt it and have to start all over again. So I really hope you enjoy this relatively short episode. I usually have interviews that go at least 30 minutes or more, sometimes an hour and a half. But this one will be a short one with some good tips for you on your tennis technique and how to improve it or change it. So I hope you enjoy this episode. And without further ado, here it is. I want you to ask yourself a few questions here first. So, I mean, the first step really, and when you're figuring out what exactly to change in your tennis technique, how to approach the game, is what is your goal? You know, you need to have a vision of your tennis career, of what it'll look like, you know, obviously, you know, somewhat realistic, but also far-reaching as well, because that really dictates what you're going to do in terms of changing your tennis technique or improving it. I mean, obviously, if you're more on the wanting to have fun side, then maybe it's not worth it to invest time in changing something. But on the other hand, if you're looking to become a top-level player, then your approach might be very different. And so also setting a vision will help you know, how much work you need to put into your game just as a whole. So after that, you need to just evaluate your entire game objectively. You need to, I recommend that you write down your strengths in your game and your weaknesses in your game. And sometimes it's hard for us to do that on our own objectively. So in that case, it's really good to ask a coach, especially if you work with one, or just a coach that's seen you play, or even, you know, a pretty competent player to just look at you and your game and then to rate you and your strokes, maybe say 1 to 10 or so, because I think we'll talk about this later, of course, but depending on how they rate your strokes, you're going to be able to then figure out what you might need to work on. But a really good thing in helping evaluating your game is to record your own play, especially if, say, you don't have a full-time coach or something like that, then taping your play and then watching it afterwards is really super eye-opening, because you're doing a lot of things that you are not even aware of. And it's really easy to record your playing. You know, you can use even a cell phone, just have somebody, you know, use their cell phone to record you. If you want to get a little more advanced, or if you have one, you can use a DSLR camera or any camera with video capabilities. You can also use a dedicated video camera, and then I recommend a tripod so that it doesn't move around and you don't even need anyone else there. So definitely videotape yourself, preferably a match, because that's when you're really performing, you know, in match situations. It's the most important. You might play differently in practice, but it's a whole different ball game when you're in a match, and that's really what you want to be examining, because obviously if you're competitive, then you want to up the level of your match play, and then you'll see what you're doing. So yeah, just show that to the coach. Even you can even post it on forums if you want. I mean, assuming that the people on there are pretty competent, that's another option to get some feedback. And so you also have to ask yourself, what is the biggest return on investment when you have all this information with you, you're trying to figure out next steps in your game? You know, what's going to give me the most return on, you know, my money, pretty much. So in a lot of cases, it's going to be the serve, just because the serve is the most important stroke in the game. But it does kind of depend on what style you play, you know, on the court. So there may be other strokes that are more vital. Maybe you're a grinder and your return game is the most important thing that you need to work on. You know, your serve is like already there, that you're just spinning the ball in for the most part. So then in that case, you need to improve a different part of your game that'll yield you the most results. Or maybe there's like a huge weakness that everybody is picking on. And then in that case, maybe that's what you need to actually choose what to work on. And then you can use the summit as a resource, you know, the notes you've taken, or if you upgrade to the All Access Pass, you can refer back to that, whatever presentation deals with that particular stroke, and to keep improving that way. Also, something that is really, really important, I think, is to focus on one change at a time. And obviously we're all different. I mean, for me, if I'm on the computer and then somebody calls out my name, I don't even hear them. It's just, you know, some people can handle more, outputs than other people. But yeah, I mean, in general, there's always a saying that you can't ride two donkeys with only one behind. I could have used a word starting with an A there, but I didn't. But you know, it's the thing is, if you try to pursue multiple changes at once, then you're not going to sufficiently change any of them at all. It's very difficult to just try to change so many things at once. Another related topic is, you know, a lot of coaches, not a lot, but maybe a lot, they shout like 10 different directions at you. And, you know, obviously, if you've probably been there, we've all been there at some point, it's extremely confusing. So basically, it's a sure shot, as long as you work hard enough, that if you choose one particular part of a technique and you work on that, then after a while, then you're going to, that's going to become second nature. And then that's when you can move on to another technical change, if you will. So just pick. Basically, first you pick one stroke that you want to work on, but obviously there's many different phases in a stroke. So say, example, the forehand, and then you're trying to work on, let's say, the finish. Well, I mean, that's the only thing you should be working on, right? So in the next hitting session, you concentrate on finishing properly, and then that's what you do. And then once you're... it's second nature to finish in the proper technique as you've studied and such, then you can move on to a different part. And I guess maybe I probably should have started with like the beginning of the strokes, and then you get that piece and then you work up from there. But you know what I mean? And yeah, I've heard that humans really don't multitask per se. They just do more things poorly at different times. So that's something to really think about. It's the quality of what you're doing when you're doing too many things at once severely goes down. One super important thing that I like to do, and that a lot of people are starting to do, is to really just kind of map out your vision for your future. And so, I mean, the first step with that is to create, obviously create goals. One particular one that's good to use is a concept of SMART goals. That's a specific goal. It should be measurable, kind of related there, attainable and realistic, and then time-based. So if you have all those elements in your goal, then you're going to have a much better defined type of goal where you can actually ascertain whether you actually hit that goal. So an example of that I have here is, I will practice my serve for 45 minutes a day every morning to improve my second serve. My goal is to hit 10 kick serves in a row in 3 weeks. Obviously, that's pretty specific, especially with the latter part. It's also measurable because it has numbers in here where you can figure out, okay, you know, my goal is to hit 10 kick serves in a row in 3 weeks. And then after 3 weeks, you try that out and see if you can do it. It's attainable. Again, it should be attainable, but also shoot far as well. And then it's a realistic goal at the same time. And it's time-based as well because you have the 3 weeks in there. And then it's really good to be even more specific, like in the first part about how long you're going to practice your serve for to reach that goal. And a really cool tool that I like to use is MindMeister. So I believe that's mindmeister.com. And then with that, you use mind maps. And so as part of, you know, figuring out like what to change in your game and improving your game, you can use a mind map. It's basically like a sort of, you can make flow charts with it, but it's so awesome because, you know, it's on the computer and you can actually drag any of the boxes or arrows or things that you like. So it's very easy to map out your future plans. And again, make those plans as concrete and specific as possible so that you can, reach your tennis goals. And just like in the example, just make sure to put in, you know, measurable numbers and things like that so that you know what you have to do exactly, and you know if you'll have hit your goal. And one important thing too is to try and reduce environmental pressures when learning new techniques. So this is really important. You know, when you're learning how to, let's say, put more legs in your serve or something like that, you want to start out by just doing that on your own or with a coach and not in any sort of competitive situation. Or say, you know, if you're changing your backhand grip or something like that, you want to minimize environmental pressures because then you're going to not be able to learn it properly. So for example, I think the best way to first work on a stroke that if you're changing it is to have someone drop the ball in front of you and you hit it, because then you take away the variable of a moving ball, you take away the variable of any sort of competition, things like that, and you moving. So once you are comfortable with that phase, then you can move on to having the coach or somebody throw the ball to you from a short distance. And so then you'll introduce the moving variable. And then once you master that, then you can go into, let's say, a drill or like practice hitting with that new technique. And then from there, you can go to point play and then, you know, maybe practice sets, practice match, and then finally tournaments. That's the best way to implement a change in your technique properly, because the most horrible thing is if you worked on a technical change for, you know, a while, but not long enough to have it become second nature. And then let's say you enter a tournament, and then now what happens is you're in that tournament, you know, you feel the pressure and you want to win. And, you know, when it's crunch time, of course, you're, you know, 95% you're more going to revert back to your old technique so that you can win. And what does that do? That pretty much destroys most of the progress that you've made before then in changing the technique. So that's why it's important to really, I think, reduce tournaments while you're changing something, especially if it's a bigger change, so that you can just practice that technical change and then gradually be ready to introduce it to a competitive environment. And also continue to videotape your play and analyze, you know, your strokes to ensure proper progress or good progress. Again, you know, when you're undergoing a change, let's say you see some advice in the session and then you're trying to implement it, just focus on the long term. I mean, first you have to trust that what is being told you is going to help you and that it'll work. And I mean, with any of the coaches on here, I think that's pretty safe to say because they have so much experience and they're world class. I mean, you have people like Sven Groeneveld, who coaches Maria Sharapova. You've got a top sports performance specialist like Astra Mercado. You've got world-renowned, coach, Dr. Mark Kovacs. I mean, people like that, you know that what they're talking about is backed up by a lot of experience and data and things like that. So, you know, once you pick a stroke and you do the other steps I mentioned beforehand, and then you start working on it, just don't expect to have amazing results in a day or two. It's going to take time. It's going to feel weird and things like that, of course, because it's a change, right? But then as you keep, working on it day by day, it's going to improve. So just trust in the process, trust your coach, and then, you're going to be in good shape. And again, like I mentioned, I just want to reiterate, don't fall victim to going back to your old deficient technique so you can win in the short term. I mean, this even happens sometimes if you're in like a ground stroke game, you might revert back to your old technique, and don't do that. Just think of the long-term vision. I mean, for example, on my podcast, one of the interviewees was saying, and I can't remember for some reason if this was Jeff or it might've been someone else, but they played Pete Sampras and actually beat Pete. But at the time, Pete had just switched to a one-hander from a two-hander. And then Pete gave our guest kind of a wry smile and just kind of communicating that pretty much like, well, I lost, but I know why I'm doing this and I'm going to get you next time. So it's kind of pretty cool, but it's illustrative of focusing on the long-term goals and where you want to be, what type of player you want to be. So that's very important. Now, obviously, you want to enjoy the learning process. That's super important. I mean, if you are, getting burned out or just feel like it's monotonous or forced every day, or you feel even kind of like depressed at not making much progress and stuff, you have a couple of choices. You can either quit because is it worth it, at that point? The other is to just remember, why you love this game so much, and also remember that learning is the essence of life. We always have to keep improving, whether that's in tennis or your work, relationships, things like that. Always trying to find ways to problem solve and improve is the most important thing of all. I mean, yeah, I guess can't say more than that, except, again, make learning and improving a fun and rewarding experience. Closing thoughts are, thank you so much for joining the summit. I really appreciate it. And I just hope that you guys have really enjoyed all the awesome sessions so far. And it's just incredible amount of information. I know it's really tough to try to sift through it all. And that's why, either you take notes or you just have like the all access pass and then you try to figure out, okay, what type of player do I want to be in the future? What, looking at my game, what will get me the most return on my investment? If I work on this stroke, then I'll end up, improving my game by this amount, things like that. So yeah, that's what you have to do, and just commit and stick to the process. With that, if you have any questions at all, please feel free to contact me at mirabon@tennisfiles.com. And, some of the tools that I mentioned before, like mindmeister.com and such, I'll link them at the bottom of this presentation. So I hope this helps you guys in some way in charting a path to improving your tennis game. It's not just about listening and learning. It's about actually taking bold action, being very organized, and mapping out exactly what you need to work on. I mean, you have to be very serious in practices and focused. You don't just go out there and just hit, right? You have to have a purposeful, intentional practice. So when you're trying to work on something, always set aside at least, 20 minutes or so to work on that. And if you keep at it, be diligent and seek feedback, and preferably have a coach with you to help you, you're going to improve your game by leaps and bounds. So again, thanks a lot for joining the Tennis Technique Summit, and I hope you gain some knowledge from this session, and I wish you all the best. So thanks again. All right. I hope you enjoyed this episode on how to change your tennis technique. I really do appreciate you tuning in, and I'd also really appreciate it if you could subscribe to the Tennis Files podcast, and you can do that in iTunes, Spotify, or any other podcast app that you use to listen to the show. And as I often like to do, I am going to leave you with a quote. And this quote is from Nelson Mandela, and he said, "Education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world." It's a fantastic quote there. And as always, any links that I mentioned during the podcast today will be in the show notes page at tennisfiles.com/72. And if you'd like to check out the Tennis Technique Summit, you can go to tennistechniquesummit.com to hear and see more fantastic presentations on the serve, forehand, backhand, volleys, and footwork, among other things, from some amazing coaches. So as always, thanks so much for listening, and I look forward to pumping out some more great episodes of the podcast for you to enjoy. If you have any feedback, just let me know. You can email me at mehrban@tennisfiles.com. That's M-E-H-R-B-A-N at tennisfiles.com, or just feel free to leave a review or comment on my website at tennisfiles.com, or any of the podcast apps that you use to listen to the show. All the best. Keep playing tennis, even though it's really, really cold. Find some indoor court time if you can, or put on some sweats and get out there. And all the best. So thanks for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode of the Tennis Files Podcast. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Tennis Files Podcast. For more tips to help you improve your tennis game, visit tennisfiles.com.